And good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Morgan. This program is Health Essentials. This radio station is 90.3 FM, KBGS. And the phone number here at the station is 903-586-6592. So this is actually a program devoted to any and everything that we can do to help further improve your health. You know, you're only going to be as healthy as the cells are in your body. And two of the basic equations that a human being always has to work with is, number one, it's energy. If I asked you to rate your current energy levels on a scale of zero, which would be absolutely no energy whatsoever, you're plumb exhausted, you can't scrape your carcass off your bed in the morning, there's nothing in the gas tank, you can't do it. The number 10 would represent perfect expression of energy. So most people would tell me they feel pretty good when they're about a 7 to an 8, and they feel really good when they're between 8 and 9, and they have, like I had a gentleman tell me yesterday, in a blue moon, once in a blue moon, he might be like a 7 as a high. And I'm going, poor guy. My kid's suffering. The other thing that the human body's got to have, and I know this makes logical sense, you've got to have sleep. So, in order for the body to do its job, every cell must produce energy. If you don't have energy, guess what happens? There's going to be a lot of things that just go undone, unhealed, unrepaired, uncorrected. You don't get the new growth that you need. And what happens if you don't have sleep? Well, when you get into that deep delta wave sleep, that's when your body actually makes the vast majority of all the repairs, even to your brain. Anyway, I've got a bunch of good studies this morning. To me, these are all so interesting, and I try to always choose ones that are doable. There are many studies that I look at, and I think to myself, well, who can do those? Either it's cost prohibitive or it's a special technique that you can only acquire if you go to a research facility. So that's like off the table. But let me start off with this first one right here. And there's several ways that you can look at this, but just come up with your own conclusion and just think of it in the most possible light for yourself and for others. And so there's a lot of ways that we could apply this. The first article, let me see, where does it come from? I can't even find it. It's Italian oncologist. An oncologist is a medical specialist that deals with cancer, okay? And so what they've discovered is that one of the most potent cancer inhibitors, it might actually be found in something that people drink every day. It's called green tea. And so what they showed was there's a phytochemical, they call it EGCG. Guess where it's found? It's found in green tea. So if you have your steam kettle on the stove and it's blasting out steam, that means it's plenty hot enough to where you could pour the hot water over some green tea. Maybe it's the loose leaves. Maybe it's a bag of tea that's pre-packaged, ready to go. All you do is insert the bag in the hot water or pour the hot water and bingo. It doesn't take long at all until you get a cup of green tea. You might want to let it cool down before you slurp on it. Okay, listen to this. For 4 weeks, researchers gave 12 women that had breast cancer. Every day they gave them 300 milligrams from a company. The company was called Green Select Phytosome. Basically, the supplement contains catechins that come from green tea, and they are packaged in what are called phospholipids and lecithin. There may be a clue in there right there. The manufacturer puts green tea in a base of fat. You have to remember, fat is not bad. If you want to absorb nutrients, you need fat. You've heard me talk about before that putting a pat of butter on your green beans or your carrots enables you to absorb easily 15% more of the nutrients that your body needs. And just so we know, your body requires nutrients. What happens if you don't have nutrients? Well, maybe you're one of those people that suffers from horrible exhaustion. And so there was another study that was done. Sorry, I'm coming back to it. They show this company, Green Select Phytosome, all they're doing is taking extracts of green tea, putting it into supplement form, and they show that it accelerated weight loss. That's one of their studies. They also show that it increased the concentration of growth hormone. Well, human growth hormone, what does that do? It basically repairs anything that's in disrepair in the human body. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of important. You have your choice. Have your body in good working order and good repair, or or have your body in disrepair. Okay, so just back to the study on the breast cancer. Just before the supplementation began, the researchers were able to do a needle biopsy, it doesn't say, but they took some of the cancer cells from the tumors they found in the female breast, and then when the 4 weeks were over, the women were operated on, and surgeons actually removed the tumors. Now, in this study, there was no mention of chemotherapy. There was certainly no mention of doing radiation therapy. It was just as simple as, we are going to take some of the cancer cells from the tumor, and then 4 weeks later, we're only going to surgically remove the tumor. And so, the researchers found no endocrinological effects of the green tea supplement in the blood, with one exception. And what they were looking for is, they wanted to find if there was a significant difference in the female's estrogen levels or progesterone. And whether you know this or not, estrogen is definitely one of those things that if there's too much of it, it may drive the cancer formation. But they did find, and I'm looking at the chart. I realize this is radio. You can't see the chart that I'm looking at. But it did show that testosterone levels increased slightly. And they have a before and after testosterone levels. Well, I mean, it looks like it could, you know, significantly raise testosterone. And by the way, you've got to have testosterone. You have to. Now, let's go back to the cancer. Okay. There's a particular protein that has the name of Ki-67. Alrighty? And this protein, this is what indicates cell division in a tumor. And so basically, the more Ki-67 that you find in cancer cells, the more aggressive they are, the more life force they have. When they removed the tumors, they found a little bit less Ki-27 in the women that took a supplement that had green tea. And you got to understand, this is just a very, very short study. This was for 4 weeks. They didn't do it very long. What would happen if this went on for 6 months? I know this is a side note, but I always listen to patients and people tell me, I'm doing so much better than what I was a year ago. I've accomplished this. I've overcome that. This is better. That's better. And so there's a concept there. I mean, I see it all the time. The longer you stick with something, the better. No, but in America, what do we want? We want instant, fast results, instant healing. Well, that's not reality. And so, the researchers, when they determined there was a relationship between the concentration of EGCG, these are just catechins that are found in green tea, so they measured green tea in the women's blood and the amount of Ki-67 in the tumors, and they found an association. The more green tea extract they found in the woman's blood that had the breast cancer or the tumors, the less Ki-67. And that's one of the things that shows the activity of tumor growth. So you get what I'm saying here? The more green tea, the less potent cancer cells. I love it. They have a chart here that shows the more catechins from green tea they find in the blood or they can measure, that's where it starts showing the greatest change in Ki-67. That's the protein that indicates the growth and the cell division of a tumor or cancer cells. Okay, let me see. What are the conclusion of the authors here? Several authors have addressed the hypothesis of adding green tea to breast cancer therapy. And why are they doing that? Because you're seeing significant changes for the better. Let me ask you a question. Would you do something if you knew it would incrementally help you improve? If it were able to improve you by 30%, would you do it? Yeah. Well, you kind of have to think of it this way. I'm not trying to say this morning that green tea is a complete total cure for cancer. But I would also be very foolish if I didn't tell you about it. That way, what if all you did was just add a couple of cups of green tea a day? And maybe you have to make it taste better. And that may involve lime juice or lemon juice. Or a spoonful of pomegranate powder. That's a topic for another day, but you talk about a synergistic benefit as trying to help your immune system. That sounds great. It says, in particular, the co-administration, and this is a different study of green tea and tamoxifen, seems to improve the outcomes in breast cancer cell lines. And when they do this in animals, guess what? The cancer starts to diminish and go away in animal studies. Here's another study right here. This comes from the American Journal of Obstetric Gynecology, 2009. The month is December, volume 201. I think it's on page 605. Anyway, it says, furthermore, observational studies have evaluated green tea in relation to gynecological cancer, and a meta-analysis report that green tea intake was associated with a 23% decrease in endometrial cancer. I realize I was talking about breast cancer, but there's a correlation between the two. And so green tea provides you antioxidants. Let me see, is there anything else I want to talk about? They're saying they wish that they could do more studies on this that were longer than just 4 weeks. But that to me is interesting. Okay. Next study. This one, I'm switching gears slightly, but it goes back to what I was saying while I go about energy. You've got to have energy. Energy is the currency of the body. Is there anybody out there that's learned how to hold their breath for 24 hours where they don't actually need oxygen? No, I don't think so. Okay, so here it is right here. According to a recent meta-study by the Spanish researchers from the University of Extremadura, I probably botched that, sorry. So they supplemented with one particular herb. It's called ashwagandha. You ever heard of ashwagandha? You might want to listen to it. I think I have a bottle out in my vehicle right now. But anyway, and I looked at the label this morning. It's made from 4 grams of ashwagandha. So they measured out on the scale, and it comes, each tablet is from 4 grams. And you're thinking that's huge. Well, yes, if it were 4 grams, that would be huge. It'd be too big to swallow, probably. Or maybe somebody could swallow it, but you'd look at it and they say, my goodness, there's no way I'm swallowing that. It's too big. But what they do is they're using very specific time-honored techniques to work that down where they're just trying to concentrate the most potent active ingredients that have been studied. And so it's a 10-to-1 ratio. So the tablet itself is just 400 milligrams. That's easy to swallow because it's like 1/10 the size of what it started off with. But that's called standardization, where they're trying to capture as much of the active ingredients or that vital life force or the energy of the plant and put it in a tablet form. And so what they're doing is they're trying to find out, does ashwagandha, does it increase what's called VO2 max? Now, I don't know if you've heard this before, but VO2 max is one of the ways to determine how physically fit you are. And, of course, in this study, it says VO2 max. It is the main determinant of stamina. And when it says VO2 max, you start thinking, does V stand for volume? Yep. Does O2 stand for oxygen? Yes. And what does max mean? Well, they're trying to find out what's the highest level of oxygen that is saturating every drop of your body. that usually causes great health. Have you ever seen somebody struggle for oxygen? Has somebody ever said, I can't get my breath? I feel like my endurance is horrible. I can't walk across a room without getting winded. Well, they probably don't have a real good VO2 max. Some studies point toward it's a pretty good predictor of how long you're going to live. Okay. And so what they were looking at here is, if you increase your VO2 max, do you also slow down your aging? Now, I don't know if you get what I'm saying here is, would you like this body that God has blessed you with, that He's given you, would you like that to age very, very rapidly? Well, if you want to, let's lower your VO2 max. But if you want to live, and you want to be a good steward of the body that God's given you, and maybe you find it a very interesting proposition to live as long as you can so you can see what God does and what happens, and you can rejoice in how faithful God is, and you can participate in His goodness. And the more oxygen you have, the more useful that you can be in service, and you can do the things that God's given you. I mean, there's a lot of ways of saying it, but that's just one way. Okay. Here's one study right here. Modern studies have shown that ashwagandha helps strength athletes gain more strength. I'm not asking you to go to the gym and see how much you can deadlift. I personally think that every person over the age of 85 should be able to deadlift at least 758 pounds. I'm only joking. But isn't that interesting? If a strength athlete that can deadlift a lot of weight, I'm just going to say 500 pounds. That's a lot. That would be a lot, wouldn't it? Could you imagine if they took an herb called ashwagandha, and after a short season, they said, oh my word, look at this. I can lift more now than what I could do before. Here's another study. Ashwagandha increases testosterone levels. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, there is a huge difference between taking testosterone replacement therapy and taking an herb like ashwagandha that actually helps your body make testosterone. Would you care to guess which one has the side effects? Which one is the one that has a high risk of making your blood super thick and causing a heart attack? Well, that's taking supplemental testosterone, whether it's an implant or an injection or a gel. What's the other delivery system? Maybe they have an oral dose. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. You don't get that when your body makes it. So if we can tap into the ability of your glandular system that produces hormones, if it can actually start producing more testosterone for us, you know what that's been shown to do? It improves your body composition, which means you start growing muscle. I know I sound like a broken record, but there's a point where you lose so much of your muscle mass and you become so weak physically. I mean, I am not the only one that observes and watches people. But when you watch I'm going to say a man since I'm a man. If you watch a man that moves so super, super slow, and he can just barely make it from point A to point B, and when he talks super slow, and he's very, very overweight, well, you don't have to be a genius to figure out. Most likely, that's very low levels of testosterone production. That means under his current circumstances, and what I'm going to say is, his diet and his lifestyle and the way that he takes care of himself is not that great. It's not really promoting optimal expression or production of testosterone. But ashwagandha has been shown to help do that. I kind of like that. Now, I don't mean anything negative by what I'm fixing to say next, so I'm just going to use the word libido. And so don't think too much of it. But it says ashwagandha has been able to significantly improve a woman's libido. You know, that's where she goes from saying, you know, that doesn't sound like a good idea. I'm not the least bit interested. I never think about that. That's not anything that I want to do. And ashwagandha, all of a sudden, they say, that sounds like a good idea. Anyway, you know what I mean. So I know I'm, you know, getting into it kind of deep here, but this is so interesting to me. These are all things that God made. I'm not smart enough to make this stuff up. That would be interesting if I could do that, but I can't. This is so complicated, so complex, so sophisticated, but it's also so orderly and so organized. There's an order to things, even a teeny tiny supplement that contains ashwagandha. It has incredible order to it. I think that kind of shows how much God really loves us and cares about us, at least one point. Because he's actually given us things that if we're smart enough to use them and take them, we're the ones that benefit. Okay. Anyway, part of this study says scientists don't know exactly what the main ingredient is that actually works and how it increases VO2 max. But I promise you that's what you want. The more oxygen that you have coursing through your body, the better you're going to feel. The more you're able to perform and function at a high level. Have you ever heard somebody say that once they leave work, they just collapse on the couch in exhaustion? And then they're so tired they can't make a good food choice. They only have enough energy to pull through the drive-thru and say, I'll take a number 3 combo meal with an extra large Diet Coke, because they have no strength. By the way, I just said that. Don't drink Diet Coke. That stuff's toxic. I'll just tell you right now, it's incompatible. You tell me you want to restore the vision of your eyes and you have macular degeneration and you're consuming a diet soft drink? Well, bingo, you're not going to make it. Not going to happen. So in this study, they found out that when they gave ashwagandha, it increased oxygen. Okay, that's the end of that study. Actually, here's the last part I'm going to read right here. I underlined this part. The researcher said ashwagandha supplementation improves the VO2 max in athletes and non-athlete. There you go. Those are your two categories of human beings. Those that are athletes and those that are not. And this study was only done for 2 weeks. They looked at a bunch of studies, but here it is right here. The studies lasted anywhere from 2 weeks to 12 weeks. That's 3 months. The dose they took, 300 to 1,000 milligrams a day. That's it. Okay? Personally, in the real world, I like it when you try something and a person can say, oh boy, I'm better. I'm different. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great.
A few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, you talked about cholesterol quite a bit, and we tried to find that podcast, but it had not, somehow it wasn't recorded. Would you have time to possibly talk about cholesterol again?
What angle do you want me to discuss it?
Just in general. My wife has a little bit of high cholesterol. Her good cholesterol is fairly good, but she
has What's the number?
Bad. Do we know the number?
Yeah, on the good cholesterol.
70.
That's 70. Excellent. Good job. And actually, most studies show that when it's a 60 or above, then it does its job, the HDL, at removing plaque from the arteries at a faster rate than it deposits. So that's a good thing. That's actually considered an independent beneficial factor. So HDL at 70, that is excellent. I bet she goes for a walk every day, doesn't she?
We walk every day. We sure do.
See there? Look at that. That's great. That's the way it should be. Now, are there any other numbers like triglycerides that are high or?
The HDL cholesterol is 70. The triglycerides are 48.
Oh, my goodness. Your wife is like spectacular.
And
of course, I'm not telling you anything you don't know already.
We're trying to learn more. The non-HDL cholesterol was 184.
Okay, that's what we're going to focus on then.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm sorry, go ahead.
And the LDL was 170.
Yeah, I knew it wouldn't be far behind.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, that's kind of what I want to look at. Did you want to tell me what the total was? I don't think it really makes a difference at this point.
The total was 254.
Okay. Do you know what the word oxidation means?
Yes, like iron oxidized.
Yeah, exactly. That's just what I was going to say. So I had a steel plate in the backyard, and all I was doing is trying to spray paint it. Of course, you know why I was trying to spray paint it, because I don't want it to rust, or I want to maybe slow down the rust. I also want it to be I want it to look a certain way from a distance. But anyway, that's another story. But to make a long story short, almost all the problems. I don't know if you caught what I said earlier. That study that I read on the air about ashwagandha, it didn't really say anything about cholesterol at all, and I'm not looking for that. But what it said was it increased the VO2 max.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the human body, we've got to have oxygen in order to live. It's just the only way that we can produce energy. Aerobic respiration, we got to breathe, and you got to get oxygen in. The problem is, what if oxygen starts contributing to your body oxidizing or rusting out? That's when it's bad. So, usually when a woman is in her fertility years, every 28 days she has a menstrual cycle. So she loses a little bit of blood. So she's got this natural God-given mechanism that she can get rid of the old rust from her body. Men don't really have that. That's one of the reasons that men don't live as long as women do. So my main point that I'm getting to is, when the LDL, the low-density lipoprotein, starts getting a certain level, and hers is 170, so that's just a number I'm going to mention. When that's 170, that means most likely something in her system is oxidizing. And that means her body is probably, let me say this first before I go into the next point. You've heard of an antioxidant, haven't you?
Yes, yes,
and
you discussed
so,
that.
Yeah, and so even though I probably didn't say it real well, the article that I read earlier about women and breast cancer and green tea, well, green tea contains a generous amount of natural occurring antioxidants, and an antioxidant does one thing. It keeps you from rusting. And so whether it's vitamin C or vitamin E or green tea or pomegranate or milk thistle or curcumin, probably could keep going for days, but they all act as antioxidants. They keep your body from rusting. And so when cholesterol goes to 170, I'm sorry, when LDL goes to 170 and the total cholesterol is 254, it just makes me curious if what we're learning here or what this is trying to tell us is that she's oxidizing. Now, what I wish is, I wish I could have two lab tests. One of them is called ferritin. And that's an easy one to order. That's the storage protein in the human body or the blood for old rusted iron. And so in a woman, when that goes above 50, you're going to have excessive rusting out. And so we want to figure that out. One of the solutions is donating blood. It's by far and away the easiest technique of all time.
Okay.
The other thing is, cholesterol always increases in an effort to try to counter oxidation, so it's trying to soak up poison. So I don't necessarily want to say this is a bad situation. This is her body's effort or best effort or attempt to try to right the ship or to correct or help the body to heal. And so have you ever heard of a type of a green algae that grows in the ocean called chlorella?
I've heard you mention it, I believe, yes.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it grows in great abundance in the Pacific Ocean. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't grow in Antarctica. I just don't know the answer to it, or the Arctic Ocean, or whatever. But I know it grows in the Pacific Ocean, where the waters are probably a bit warmer than the ocean that surrounds Antarctica, whatever it is, the South Sea. Anyway, what I was saying is, there was one study where they tried to give animals very high levels of oxidized cholesterol, and every single time, guess what it did? It raised their LDL, it raised their total cholesterol, it kind of threw their body into a tizzy. It showed to be harmful. They also gave another group of animals the same diet, but this time they gave them a little bit of chlorella. Now, I do not have the article in front of me, and I really can't remember the dose, but I'm going to say a small percentage of their diet, or their Purina rat chow, was probably chlorella, which is an algae. And they couldn't get their cholesterol levels to go up for any reason. And they have found the same thing with human beings. Chlorella, it absorbs the toxic waste in the human being's body. and so thus cholesterol is lower. Now, I need to say this a different way, because I know these are just teaching opportunities, all right? When they look at children whose parents work on these large industrial commercial farms where they're constantly spraying this pesticide, that herbicide, this chemical to kill weeds, that chemical to kill flies. Anyway, you get the idea. They're just using a lot of chemicals to prevent flies and weeds from growing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So when those children, they measure their blood every single time, they absolutely have the highest cholesterol levels of any human population on the planet. And so you get what I'm saying here? If you're exposed to toxic chemicals, your cholesterol is going to go up. So when the children move away from the farms to the country where they're not around chemicals, you just care to guess what happens to their cholesterol?
I guess it goes down.
You're right, it does. Good choice. It goes down every single time. So I don't arbitrarily want to just attack the idea of cholesterol as all cholesterol is bad. It's serving a purpose. And so another thing that I like to say about the LDL, it's really the biggest honking sponge that you have floating around your bloodstream. And so that LDL, it's doing its job. It's trying to soak up toxic waste that if you didn't do it, it would harm the cells of your wife's body. So there's a reason why LDL is elevated. Now, hormone replacement therapy has been shown to do that. Is she taking any hormones?
No, she doesn't.
Does she take any drugs of any kind?
No, just a few supplements.
Okay, well, that means she's trying to help herself. I like that.
Yes.
And so chlorella has been shown to help correct this by cleansing the human body. And plus, it's got a boatload of nutrients that help keep your body in better repair. So she might actually be in just a little bit of disrepair. So at least my first sales pitch is, why don't you look into maybe taking a little bit of chlorella?
Okay.
There's numerous other studies that show the more garlic and the more onions a human being consumes, the better the balance of the blood. Thus, you're going to have lower cholesterol. And I don't think that one's a hard one to buy into, because those are large population studies from the Jain community from India. So I always find that very, very interesting. Now, I will say this also. There is a mineral called zinc. So if she had a blood test in front of her and they measured one marker called alkaline phosphatase, usually when I see alkaline phosphatase go below 60, that might suggest that they have less than adequate zinc to get the job done. But I've seen cholesterol drop radically just if a person's low in zinc and you give them zinc.
I believe her alkaline phosphates are 60.
She's right on the line.
So let me make sure that's not the limit.
Yeah.
No, that's not the limit. It was 60. That's it.
Well, that's in my mind. That's usually the number that I go with. If I see it below 60, I start thinking zinc. Can you see her albumin levels? If her albumin levels are like 4.5 or above, that's really a good sign. It's actually
albumin
a sign of...
is 4.4.
Okay. So these are things that I would look at. Does she have any issues at all that you can tell me about that she's wanting to improve upon or make better? I mean, you know her better than anybody else.
Well, she is concerned about losing her hair. Her hair is thinning. I know that she's 70. Her hair is thinning, and she does have spider veins on her legs.
Boy, I would want the first thing I would look at is digestive enzymes. Have you ever heard of what's called hydrochloric acid?
Yes, of course.
Does she have any issues with heartburn, indigestion, acid reflux, tummy pain, gas?
She's nodding her head on the gas. That's right.
Okay, so what I would look at is when a woman's hair is thinning at age 70, the first thing that I want to pursue is there a possibility or chance that she has less than adequate hydrochloric acid? Now, this is just me talking, so I don't expect it to make logical sense. But there's a reflex called Riedler's reflex. It was named after Dr. Robert Riedler. But it's a little bitty notch on the left side of the rib cage in the upper quadrant on the front, right there where the stomach is. But that point becomes very, very tender. when somebody doesn't produce enough stomach acid. And so what is hair made of? Hair is made of pure protein. I'm sure you've taken a match and burned hair before, and you know what it smells like. It doesn't smell great.
It doesn't smell very pleasant.
Yeah, it's one of those smells that it's kind of etched in your mind forever. But that would be what I would guess at age 70, is that she is just not producing enough hydrochloric acid or protein digesting enzymes. And so one of the solutions, there's a bunch. Some people take lemon juice, like a spoonful of lemon juice, and they put it in a cup of warm water and drink it right before a meal. Okay. Other people might take a little bit of apple cider vinegar and add to a little cup of water and drink that before their meal. Because these may stimulate hydrochloric acid production, and that's a good thing. Other people might take a substance called gentian, or sometimes they're called herbal bitters. And these have been shown to help improve the stomach's natural production of digestive enzymes in the pancreases. But other people, they actually require what's called hydrochloric acid. And so there's a lot of ways you can do it. There's a substance called betaine hydrochloride or hydrochloric acid. By the way, you've got to have both sodium and chloride from salt in order to make digestive enzymes. Can't do it otherwise. So this whole deal about avoiding salt, it's just a recipe for making people very, very physically weak, which is what we don't want.
Okay.
So is she good about eating protein? When I say protein, I'm referring to things like eggs or chicken or fish or beef.
Pretty good. She tries to not eat too much, so I don't think she eats quite enough meat sometimes.
Well, and that actually can be an issue, because if you're lacking protein, one of the first ways you can see that is your hair begins to diminish, because the hair is much lower on the totem pole than, say, what is brain function or the sight of, or the sense of vision or hearing or heart function. Your body will send the protein to those, but it'll say, we don't have enough to go around. Let's knock it out of the hair.
Okay.
So, but you've got to eat protein for hair to grow. I mean, literally, that's what the human body is made of. It's made of amino acids or proteins. I mean, the whole reason I was saying that earlier, if she was right here at the radio station, I would measure, using my method, Riedler's reflex, to see if that's an issue. And I would try to find out if her hair is stressed because of a lack of a nutrient like zinc or selenium, or what if it's a problem with protein or iron. I would try to figure that out. So,
okay.
But she can do all these simple experiments at home. If you went to the health food store and you purchased hydrochloric acid or an enzyme made from animal enzymes, that might be something that would be super easy. And you might even make a concerted effort to eat just a little bit more protein, kind of like what you were telling me a while ago.
Okay, animal enzymes.
Mm-hmm. But I know you originally began with cholesterol, but to me, if you don't restore the balance of the body, that's what high cholesterol means. It means your body's out of balance, and if we can figure out what the imbalance is, then we can fix it. I can also tell you very accurately that the more sugar, refined sugar that somebody eats, the higher your cholesterol is.
She's very careful about eating sugar. She does eat some. But
well, everybody does, but she's not eating an excessive amount of sugar.
No, we don't drink any kind of soft drinks or anything like that.
Is that because you can't afford them? Just joking. Have you seen the price of soft drinks?
Yes. Well, not really, because we've been listening to you, and we don't drink soft drinks.
Man, do you see how I'm responsible for making you a trillionaire. You saved all that money. No, that's great. That's very, very good. So does she by chance spend much time out in the sunshine?
Yes, we go for walks, and we try to, you know, expose our arms and face, legs as much as we can in the summer.
Well, look into the idea of taking just a little bit of chlorella and seeing if maybe the next time she goes for a lab test, all of a sudden these numbers are looking much, much better. But there's still three or four things I can't really figure out unless I have a lab test in front of me or if I have a person. So at least try these and see if they don't get her into a much better place.
Yes, she does take daily essential enzymes, it's called.
Oh, she does.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
Well, I know what enzymes are. I just don't know that particular brand, but I'm open to the idea that maybe she needs more than what she's taking.
Okay. All right.
Because like anything else, there's always a Goldilocks just right dose.
Okay. The chlorella, is that something we can get at the...
Yes, sir.
At the store?
Okay. Yeah, there's a type of a blue-green algae that comes from fresh water that's called spirulina. But the one that I'm referring to, it comes from the saltwater ocean of the planet. That's okay. Chlorella.
Okay, great. All right, well, thank you so much, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome. I hope this helps you a whole bunch, and give my best to your wife.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You. Bye-bye. Okay, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903. The number is 586-6592. Just a slight change in the last four numbers. 903-586-6592. As soon as I say that, somebody's trying to call line one. That's the old number. I don't think it works anymore. Here, I'll try it right now. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it worked. Well, how can I help?
Big question. I broke my pinky, and when they did the write-up on it, it said I had demineralization of the bone.
What does that mean to you?
Well, it means my bones are losing minerals.
Yep.
And so it then said I had osteopenia.
In your pinky finger?
In my pinky finger, yeah. So of course that concerns me.
You should be, yeah.
So how, now this is the odd thing, I have been drinking more water out of our Berkey. I set up our Berkey. Due to the times, I set the Berkey up. So I love the taste of the water out of the Berkey. But I started thinking, it's taking everything out of there.
Yeah, but I don't think that has anything to do with anything.
Oh, okay.
How long you been using the Berkey?
Oh, maybe 5 months.
Okay, I'm going to say that what happened in the preceding 10 years is probably what's behind all this.
Gotcha. So how do I increase my mineralization of my bones?
Okay, well, I'm going to say it kind of in the negative reverse angle here. The more sugar that someone eats, the more demineralized they're going to become.
Okay.
Number two.
I'm not a big sugar eater.
Good.
So go ahead.
The next topic is called coffee.
Oh, really?
Oh, great. You're already casting away. What?
I only drink one cup a day.
Well, how big is the cup of coffee?
It's a normal, 10 ounce, you know, the new kind of mugs. It's probably two small cups.
What does that mean to me, though? Is that like 3 million ounces, or?
No, it's probably 10 ounces.
Okay, well, that sounds perfectly fine. I would say most of the studies that I've looked at trying to figure this equation out are going to demonstrate somewhere around the 20-ounce mark. Once you start drinking about 20 ounces or more, then you're going to lose minerals from your bones at a faster rate. So can I just say your bones are your savings account for your minerals? That's your rich reserve.
Exactly.
Okay. And so if you're demineral... Well, technically, you don't have to... It doesn't have to be anything you're eating. I mean, study after study demonstrates all you have to be is stressed. Emotionally and mentally stressed is enough to remove minerals from your bones. Because that's what cortisol does, and that's what adrenaline does. They just burn through your...
I do have high cortisol levels.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I started reading about ashwagandha on the radio earlier. Because that's been shown to help down. And, you know, as a human being ages, cortisol levels go up, up, up with age. They do. I mean, haven't you ever seen like an older person? They just go kind of bonkers as a worrywart and fretful as they age. Scared of everything. That's cortisol right there talking.
Okay.
So,
well, I've got the Lord,
They did a study on nursing home residents, and I kind of like this one because they're kind of in their wheelchairs. They're not really getting a lot of exercise. They're just kind of sitting around all day long. And all they did was they put a pat of butter on their green beans and their carrots and their mashed potatoes. And at the end of 1 month, their blood and mineral levels and vitamins improved by 15%. Now, I'm telling you, I think that's huge.
That is.
Which, my point is this. You've got to have fat to absorb your minerals. Mm-hmm. And one of the studies that was done on osteoporosis years ago, they asked the question, what is the number one predictor and factor? And it was fat consumption. And I mean good fats. I'm not talking about... I read a study this morning that talked about omega-6 fatty acids. That's like corn oil or, you know, mm-hmm. sunflowers, you know, the junk they would use in fast food. But the corn oil, they showed the highest level of depression and anxiety and panic attacks the more omega-6 oils that you get. What I'm talking about is when you eat like salmon, or if you have a ribeye steak in front of you and you want to put butter on the top of it, or if you have fresh steamed broccoli, if you put butter on it, or if you cook something in olive oil, or if you have a salad and you put olive oil salad dressing on it. That's how you start getting minerals from the food that you eat.
Okay, so I do all that. So
then we're going to talk about exercise. You've got to put a sufficient amount of weight on your body.
Okay. I have a sufficient amount of weight.
You have what?
I have a sufficient amount of weight on my body. I've been trying to get rid of it. No. Okay, so then my
if you have a sufficient amount of weight on your body and you're exercising and you're doing everything right, that kind of leaves me with maybe you don't really realize how stressed you really are.
Or I'm not absorbing, which I have.
Well, absorbing, you just said you had plenty of weight on your body. You're absorbing plenty of something.
Well, no, I don't have that much weight. I need to lose 10 pounds.
I didn't think of that. I thought I was thinking about 800 extra pounds. No, I'm joking.
Oh, no. I have 10, about 10, maybe 15, but 10 for sure.
Well, and do you take any prescription drugs at all? Because there's plenty of drugs. All right.
And I'm a fairly good eater. I don't eat a lot of sweets. I mean, my big thing is I want some flavor in my coffee, and that's my treat of the day.
And what is that?
You know, some creamer.
What is the creamer? Does it have an artificial sugar in it?
No, it has sugar. It's that Bliss, whatever it's called, Bliss Natural Creamer.
Okay. I don't really know anything about it. Sorry.
Okay, that's okay. But I'm thinking of malabsorption of my gut.
Well, I mean, have you had issues with your gut for a while as far as you think your stomach is weak? Do you have indigestion? Does your tummy hurt all the time? Do you have constipation?
On and off of all of the above. I have found out that through you that gluten is an issue for me.
Well, if it is an issue, that could block your absorption of nutrients. Bingo.
Right.
Okay, well then.
So I really stay away from that as much as possible. But it's in so much. You got to read it.
Well, when it comes to processed food, yeah, you're right. It's not really found in unprocessed foods.
Correct.
So, I mean, do you have a daily habit of going for long walks or anything or exercising?
Only on the farm, you know.
Okay.
And that's what I found out. It's not a continuous long walk.
I do have more people make the comment, because I take care of animals, thus I don't need to exercise. I'm going, well, then why is your body in this condition? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about other people.
Yeah. No, so, you're right, though.
So we just have to come to terms with
it. I thought I was super busy, and then...
Well, you are super busy if you think you are.
Right, but it's not that long walk, that 20, 30-minute walk. It's lots of short here and there.
Well, and so. That's what tells your body to grow new bone.
Gotcha.
When your foot strikes the earth, it tells your body, let's shock some cells into producing new bone.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, we solved it. Well, we're pretty much on the right track now. Okay, I will force myself to do a longer walk.
Okay, good deal.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
maybe is a side note in response to what she's telling me is, number one, you've got to have a certain amount of minerals and magnesium to feed the bones, so you may be low in those things. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning. I hope you can help me.
Man, I tell you what, I'm going to try.
I know it. I have had, we moved from one place to another, and we're back to an apartment, and I got neuropathy back. I'd had it in 07 and got over it. I took gabapentin then, but I took it this time, and I tell you, it gave me more symptoms than I ever had.
Oh, no. You just couldn't take it, could you?
I took it for a while, but I was dizzy.
I mean, you couldn't tolerate the side effects.
No, and it also added a couple of side effects of, like, itchy hands. And,
oh, yeah, well, that it's just not going to work with you. So is that what you want to get rid of, is your neuropathy?
Yes, I do. Oh, my goodness. I put an ice pack on it, but, you know, I can't walk around with an ice pack on my back.
No, it's the latest trend. All the women are wearing large ice packs on their legs.
I'm not into fashion.
Well, so much for that. Okay, so let me...
I'd heard that there was another medicine that I could take. She says it bothers my kidneys. There's not one thing that I could take that would
okay,
help.
So if the only perspective we can look at this from is what potent drugs that are going to kill your kidneys are our options, then we need to go ahead and say, well, that ain't going to... You know what? I listened to a man talk this week, okay? A man made a comment. And I was just listening to him talk, and I was right there beside him as he was addressing a group of people, and he said, you know what, I had this horrible neuropathy of my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what I did was I started out by just taking my socks and my shoes off, and I think he said he sat in a chair with his bare feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that's free. That's a principle called earthing. Or if you want to...
Can't do that because of my... I have rheumatoid arthritis, and my feet are not... Oh, it hurts to go barefoot anywhere.
Well, I'm real sorry about that, but this is what he said. He said the pain was unbearable. Well,
yeah.
Okay, listen, then don't do anything then. Don't do anything. Go ahead and find all the reasons why you can't take care of yourself, and we'll go with what you're saying then.
Okay, I know what you mean.
You need to stop it. Stop right now. I don't want to hear one more comment about what you can't do.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what's going to work. And
okay.
Then you can reserve your judgment and do whatever you want to do, because this is your body, then God gave it to you.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what I'm telling you to do, and I'm going to be clear about this.
Okay.
You need to stop all this nonsense. You need to go ahead and get well.
Yeah.
And here's how you're going to do that. You're
going
to go outside, and you're going to expose your rheumatoid arthritis-ridden feet to the earth. Mm-hmm. And you're going to start letting the electrons from the earth start nourishing your feet and getting you well. And guess what? It's going to start hurting worse before it gets better, because that's always the hallmark of healing. And you're going to start walking barefoot for 30 minutes a day on the grass before it gets cold.
Okay.
And what that does is it tells your body to grow brand new nerves that work right, that don't hurt. You're going to have greater blood flow. The other thing you're going to do is you're going to start eating more meat.
Mm-hmm.
And vegetables and fruit, and you're going to give up grains. You're going to make the rheumatoid arthritis disappear and go away. You're going to start taking cod liver oil every day. You're going to take an herb called ginkgo biloba.
I do.
Okay.
Even if
you do those things, but you don't have anything to stimulate the growth of new arteries and vessels, there's only one way through this. You've got to start walking barefoot on the grass.
Yeah.
If your doctor can come up with a better plan, let's hear it.
Alrighty.
I would love to hear the genius neurologist. You know what I hear all the time?
My
neurologist is the smartest man that's ever walked the earth. And I go, what has he told you to fix your problem? Well, he's too smart for that. He says we're going to watch and wait. Now, is that what you want? Do you want to watch and wait?
That makes me so mad when they just want to
Take all that anger and take care of yourself. The ball's in your court. Start walking twice a day for 30 minutes on the grass, and after about 2 weeks, you're probably going to tell me that you're significantly better, that you're moving in the right direction.
I love what the neighbors are going to say, because we live in a little gated community here, and we're all in apartments. I love it.
Well, who cares about the neighbors?
Well,
are they? Maybe they'll follow your lead and say, we're going to start earthing also so we can live and be alive.
Yeah, I feel better.
All right. Well, I hope I helped you today.
Oh, you sure have. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. I think I don't really have much time. This one article that I was fixing to get to, I realize I don't really have time to flesh it out, but let me just kind of prep you on this. There's a horrible thing that takes place as a human being ages, as they have reduced blood flow to the brain, or in the case of maybe some people, they just don't have enough blood that goes to their feet. I don't think you understand how desperate the body cries out in pain when you don't get enough oxygen. Yeah, it could be as simple as a Charlie horse or a cramp, or maybe they're short of breath, or they have horrible, horrific brain fog, and they just feel lethargic all the time, and they don't really feel like they're alive. That's all low oxygen right there. But if you can't get enough oxygen, this life-sustaining oxygen, and enough of it to the cells in your toes or your feet are going to start developing a neuropathy. I don't know who came up with the idea that this is acceptable, and we should just treat this with powerful drugs that are so toxic. Yeah, if you read the studies on these drugs to treat neuropathy, why don't you just, kill the animals that we're doing this on, because that's what it does. Every drug that's known to man is very, very toxic if you give enough of it. Yes, I do understand that drugs have saved lives. I'm completely with you on that. If there's a person that has double pneumonia and they are in a bad, bad place, yes, I agree with you. Let's get them to the medical doctor. Let's get them a prescription of the appropriate antibiotics and the other medicines to save their life. Life is precious. I think it is. It's really a gift from God, isn't it? It's a gift. But we are so stupid, we think that our job is to avoid pain and suffering. And really, the truth of it is, the only way that you're going to get healing is if you embrace pain and suffering. And what I'm saying is, you do the hard things. You've got to do the hard things. It's usually the exercises and the treatments that are very challenging and difficult. Those are usually the ones that yield the greatest results. I mean, if it were me, if I had neuropathy in my feet, I'd take a bucket of water, fill that sucker up, and put some ice in it. Let it get nice and cold, and then I would submerge my legs and my feet for 10 minutes a day. Yeah, it's going to be miserable, but guess what's going to happen? It's going to stimulate your body to respond by saying, oh, we're about to die, we're about to freeze to death, what are we going to do? Well, your tissues start releasing what are called cold shock proteins. And so what happens is your immune system, your circulatory system, your glandular system, your nervous system, what system did I leave out? Musculoskeletal. They all get the signal and they all start working together to increase blood flow to your toes. That's your problem. You're not delivering enough oxygen and nutrition to the toes and to the feet, and so your body's crying out with pain, and most people say, you poor thing, you should just put them up in a ride around in your wheelchair. Do you know how many young people I see in motorized wheelchairs at the grocery store? It is becoming astronomical in the quantity. I know this is horrible what I'm fixing to say, but I watch people because I'm trying to figure out what's going on with them. It's just good training. But I saw a gentleman this week get out of his vehicle. I'm not saying where, but I really questioned myself. I asked myself, how does that gentleman even use the bathroom? I know that sounds horrible. I don't mean anything bad by it. But his proportions and dimensions were such, I thought to myself, I can't even figure out for the life of me, even if I have. Oh, yeah, I've got a very active imagination. I can really think of a lot of stuff. And I like, that's what men are. They're problem solvers. But I asked myself, is he able to use a restroom like the rest of us? And I said to myself, it's impossible. He can't. Sorry, I've gone over. You're listening to Health Essentials. This radio station is KBJS FM 90.3. Lord willing, I will be with you this time next week.